thank you, Father. You're near to us. You're close to us, O Lord. The word is near us, even in our mouth. The confession of faith, this word that we preach, O Lord God, we thank you for your loving kindness. Your mercies towards us today, Father God, we thank you for it. We thank you that your word will build us up in our faith today. It'll lift us up. Lord, if we feel like we're in a pit, it's going to lift us up, O Lord. If we feel ill, Father, it will heal us and make us well. He sent his word and he healed them. So we thank you for this word, and let it be increased. Let it be the seed that causes increase in our heart. Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sharp as you are, you may have read the bulletin already. Good, wonderful. Sister Donna and I have been talking about, you know, this moving forward. Donna has been seeking the Lord relative to her role and how she can be a part of this body and strengthen it and to continue to help lead it, to continue to help bring grace and abundance here. You know, so she's been in close contact, as Brother Dale had expressed last week, that she's going to be in touch with how the inner workings, how things move forward, scheduling of people to preach and teach. Thank God for an opportunity to preach and teach. That might be you. That might be you. That might be you. And so if you have a sense of urgency of a word of God, you go talk to Sister Donna, because she's the one that stepped up and said, bring it to me. She will make decisions based on the Spirit of God telling her, instructing her, guiding her in people who preach and teach the word here. So, yay. Brother Dale will continue sending people, proven people, people that we have confidence in will come and bring good food and not bring poison into the house, but bring good food into the house. This is exciting moving forward. So, yes, as the bulletin says, we're going to start the book of Romans. I've made some discoveries in the book of Romans, and that's been a fire in my heart lately. And I think you will find some interesting things that predicate Romans. Maybe I should give you a shocker, wondering when Romans, if you ever wondered when Romans was written, if you wondered about that, if you come to a conclusion about that, it doesn't change the theology of Romans, but it does change the way it was received and accepted. Paul didn't start that church. That church has been cooking. That church has been going on, the book of Romans. It's been going on. And for a long time, Paul will say it, I will read it to you. For a long time, I've wanted to come to Rome, but I've been hindered. And we'll talk about that. But that's the book of Romans. We'll get there starting next week. Now this, obviously, if you're teaching 16 chapters, it takes a while. But other people are going to preach too. Other people may have series too. So I'm just bringing some clarity to that. So maybe the book of Romans might get interrupted along the way. It's all good. We'll get right back to it when others have had opportunity to come and encourage us and to build us up in the word. There might be something else pop up. Any questions about that, you can see Sister Donna. She'll be happy to clarify it. But for clarity's sake, was that good? Thank you, Donna. I just wanted to share with you, we're going to move forward in the book of Romans. But there's a problem here. Jairus, Mark chapter 4, okay, and 5, my message here wasn't meant to be a series, but it went longer than this one chapter, than this one session. Jairus, he's got a 12-year-old daughter that's that close to death, that close to, I won't see my little girl anymore. Impacting. Some of us in our life, we've had these opportunities where we're about ready to lose somebody. We've had these opportunities, you know, some people, not everybody, have had these devastating things come to you and you're just not sure. You're a minute away from the outcome. And so I'd like to go and revisit that again in this little thing, and not a series. This is not a series. It was called a day in the life. What did it look like when Jesus woke up in the morning and he went down by the sea and he began to teach the word? We don't know. We weren't there. But there's a a continuation of him speaking and teaching here. The sower sows the word. Well, that could take weeks. I remember Pastor Bill spending weeks on that as a series. So I'm not saying that's not important. I'm just focusing on it from a different angle. I'm looking at it from this angle of we watch Jesus. He gets up in the morning, whether he has toast and bagels and a cappuccino. We don't know any of that. We don't know what his routine was. He got up, he sought the Lord early. Sometimes we notice in the word he spent the whole night in prayer. This is what we know. This is what we've seen in his life. He's so committed to the word of God and to his destiny. And he understands and he's getting clarity day by day in what he's to be about the Father's business. Jesus was about the Father's business. To be honest with you, if I can piggyback on a message that was shared by Josh last week, Jesus had already entered his rest because he ceases from his own labors and he does the labors of the Father. I'll let you ponder that as a piggyback off Josh's message. That's what we have to do. Whatever you think is important to life, it's not, because your life is not your own. It belongs to him. And so as he leads you and guides you, and you begin to walk that out, that him leading you, him guiding you, you enter into rest. Rest from your labors. As God rested from his labors, you rest from your labors. The outcome of your life is not the determination by what you do in life. It's him through you. It was God working through Christ that brought about the glory and manifestation of Jesus Christ. So parables of the sower sows the word, so amazingly important. He gets in the boat after he preaches that word and he goes to the other side. Not going to rehash that so much. He gets to the other side and he's met with a demon-possessed man who has a legion of demonic activity working in his heart, in his life. Crying out night and day. You know, I don't want to go over that too much, but just to review and to catch you up, this is what was happening in this man's life. The town was terrified of him. They tried to chain him. That didn't work. They tried to hold him. Sometimes the things you try to help people, there's things that you've tried to help people, and they just seem like they're resisting it. They're breaking off everything that you can advise in their life and try to lead them and guide them in right paths, and they just break it off like it's nothing. You're giving them important lessons in life and they just shed them like it's a snake skin. They just pursue and go on with it. They're driven. Did you ever meet people that are driven people? They're driven to do evil. Some are driven to do good. Some are driven for success. I love that. Being driven to be successful, to be a blessing to others. I love people like that. Driven to be a blessing to others, to serve others. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, Janet. Driven. I like to think y'all are that way. Driven to serve God all the days of your life and be a blessing to people. This is how we survive. And don't take that word and go south with it, because we live because he lives in us. It's not a matter of survival. I live because Jesus lives in me. This house stands because Jesus is in this house. It's not according to a man. Never was according to a man. If Pastor Bill was standing right here tonight, you know what he would say to you? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what he would say to you. It's all about him and it's not about us at all. But thank God when we have these opportunities to serve. Here's this man, this demoniac. They cast the devils into the pig. The pigs run into the sea. All the town is all upset with him. They come and they see this man clothed and in his right mind. This is what happens when God delivers you. He gives you a new pair of clothes. And he gives you the mind of Christ. Isn't that the same thing? It is indeed. Spiritual thoughts and spiritual words, you see. He needed clothes. He was probably running through the graveyard naked. He needed clothes on his body. Jesus clothed him. My filthy rags needed to come off. And so did yours. And he gives you new clothing. So I want to say that the important part in this, you know, just if I can just say one little part in this, verse 19 of chapter 5, and the man begged him, can I go with you? You delivered me. You delivered me. Chapter 5, verse 19. He did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people, report to them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he had mercy on you. This was this man's message. God delivered him. He cried out. He could have wrote that psalm himself. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard me and he sent a deliverer for me. You cried out, whatever your circumstance was. Maybe your circumstances were good and you just come to realization, wait, there's God. There's no way this was a big bang. There's a God in this world and I need to pause my life and I need to consider how great this man. You're not an evil person. You might be a nice person. But then there's people that are wicked. They're wicked in the world. And they need to turn. And God knows, and he will steer their life. And what is the wages of sin? Always. There isn't another. If you're on that road, at the end of that road, there's going to be diminished destruction and death. And God wants to help you. He doesn't want you to live there. So here he goes, delivers him, tells him to go preach in Decapolis. This is a large region. You say, well, that's just part of the story. That's just part of the narrative. Well, if we were actually going farther than Mark 5, if we were to go into 6 and into 7, what you're going to notice is Jesus brings his disciples back over there again. And they began to go through those towns. And as soon as he hits the shores over there, when they recognized him, they brought all the towns, brought the sick people to him to be healed. And if I'm reading into it, I apologize, but I think it's because of the testimony of this demoniac that had gone through, because some people get saved because of your testimony. One waters, another sows, but God brings the increase. So don't be shy about the testimony that is in your life. If God healed you, you tell somebody. If God raised you from the dead, you tell somebody. I'm just saying. Because that is the power of your testimony, your confession of faith, that will lead people to wonder. Like this woman, when he comes back over to the other side, she began to wonder about him. Jairus runs up to him when he comes off the boat. Please help me. My daughter is dying. Beseeched him, begged him to come to his house. If you lay your hand, Jairus knew something. Jairus didn't have the faith that centurion had. Just speak the word. That was amazing. See, Jesus wondered at that. He's like, this is amazing. This guy's a centurion. He's not even a son of Abraham. Just speak the word. You don't need to come to my house. You speak the word, because I'm a man of authority, and I look in your eyes. I see authority in you. That's all you have to do is say the word, and this is done. This is done in his mind. I know I'm acting it up a little bit with him, but nevertheless, Jairus was different. And as Josh said last week, God will meet you right where you're at. He will meet you right where you're at, and he will come to you because he wants you healed. He wants you wealthy, if you don't mind, both in spirit and in your accounts in your bank. He wants you to have more than enough. More than enough. He's the God of more than enough. How can you help others if you don't have anything to help them with, both in word and in finance? Thank God for people who understand that their life is not their own and their finance is not their own. And they're ready to release it to bless others Thank God for people like that. Because they're not moving on their own initiative. They're moving on God's initiative. They're done doing their works. They've died to their flesh. They're only doing the works of the Father. So come and lay your hands on them. Off he goes. A little bit of review. I know we're getting there. Off he goes to Jairus' house. Beeline to Jairus' house. But there was a crowd. A big crowd was following them. So this woman has it in her mind. If I could just... I had more thoughts about this woman this morning. Actually, these attributes, what is going on in this woman's mind, makes me wonder if there's more to the story because of the way what happened when she touched him. She was going to sneak up, grab a feel, and then slip out the back. It doesn't surprise me at all. Not a doctrine. Doesn't surprise me at all if that's the way she's been living her life for 12 years. I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm bleeding. The only ones that knew were the doctors. So she was fine in society as long as you don't tell anybody. Sometimes we're fine in society as long as you don't tell anybody. The truth will come out at some point in time. So I was suggesting, not a doctrine, that this woman for 12 years had been reaching into her pocket and handing out money to these people, so she had money. She was a woman of some means. They didn't have a health care program in that time. She was a woman of some means. I'm simply making this huge difference that she wasn't the beggar on the street. That's all I'm suggesting. Because God wants to help the upper class and the lower class. He wants to help all. This is what he wants to help them all. Look among you, not many wise, not many. Okay, God wants to help all. So we have to be careful that our station in life doesn't hinder us from coming to the living God. That's it. And don't be shy about talking to a rich man. Don't be shy about talking to a beggar. Because he loves them all. He wants to help them all. So here's this woman, cops a feel, sneaks up behind him, grabs a robe, and immediately, because of what she was dwelling on, because of her faith, because he's going to tell her that, she endured, you'll endure much troubles. This is what happens to us when we think we have a way. Every man's thinks he's right in his own mind. You think you know, but God knows. So after hearing about Jesus, after thinking in her mind, these are the things that are stirring up the seeds of faith. The heat's turning up. If the heat keeps turning up while the kettle is up on the fire, the heat keeps turning up, it's going to boil sooner or later. And this was bubbling up in her. Faith was rising in her. She didn't understand faith. She had no clue. But that doesn't matter. Your body does things that you have no... Your brain doesn't... Why did you cough? Why did you sneeze? Why are things leaching through your skin? Your body doesn't ask you permission for anything like that. It's getting rid of toxins. It's getting rid of invaders. It's getting rid of something that shouldn't be there. I'm not trying to gross you out, but sometimes you'll throw up. I have in the past. You've ingested something that your body says, wait a minute, you can't live here. And your body will expel it. It doesn't ask you permission. Things work without your permission. And this is the way it works. The voices, these voices, this voice inside of her said, if I could just touch him. Her faith was building. She touched him. But watch what happens. She's healed. If I touch his garments, I'll get well. Immediately the flow, verse 29, she felt in her body. She was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus perceived in himself. Power went out of him. Faith, the draw of faith. We have to be in faith. Faith begins to work in this woman's life. Draws that from him. And he says, who touched my garment? We kind of left off on here at here, because this poor Jairus, turned around, he lost. Jesus was following him. What happened? He's in a crisis, right? We get in crisis, and we think we have a plan to fix it. We're in a crisis. But Jesus wasn't moved by that. He's always moved by compassion. He had compassion on Jairus and on his daughter. But sometimes other people have needs. And it's just the way it is. It'll happen in your life. You think you're in a crisis mode, or else you'll just be helping somebody and then somebody else interrupts you. And you're able to help them both, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You have strength to help one another. This is where we're at. Watch this. You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, "Who touched me?" This is interesting. And he looked around to see that he wasn't swayed by that thought. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that's out there in the world. He's looking for somebody. He looked for you. You found him, right? He was looking for you. He looked around. He saw the woman who had done this. She's the one. This is why I'm suggesting the fact that she might have just thought she was going to do this on the down low and get away with it. But the woman, fearing and troubling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. This is an honesty session. You just have to be real with God sometimes. And you might not like what he wants to say to you, but nevertheless, what he says to you is going to be good for you, because this is just simply an honesty session. Who touched me? You cry out with your voice. We want answers to prayer, right? Our problems. We go to God and we want answers to prayer, and then he comes to us and says, "Oh, I'm not doing it that way." He does it another way, and you resist. It shuts off until you come again and cry again. Because it's his way. Because who's going to get the glory? Who's going to get the glory? Did God get any glory from this yet? He will. He said to her, the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened, came and fell before him. Well, now, we just saw this a minute ago. Who else came and fell before him and bowed before him? Jairus. Lord, help me. There's no other place to turn. Finally, she comes and falls before him and told him the whole truth. See, there is a whole truth, if you don't mind. Brother Hagin used to say, what did he used to say all the time? You remember? Half truth is a whole lie. That's what Brother Hagin used to say. A half truth is a whole lie. Stuff that sticks with you sometimes is amazing. He said to her, he did not rebuke her. He didn't say, "Look, you thought you were going to be sneaky, didn't you? You thought you were going to slide up here and touch my garment and get something from God, and you thought that you were going to get away with it." He didn't say anything like that to her. He encouraged her. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction." Be healed of your affliction. This is how Jesus dealt with it. While he was still speaking, this is how we're finishing this up. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue. You didn't forget about Jairus, did you? He's hanging on. He's hanging on to every minute. Every second is important to him at any moment of time. "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" It's kind of interesting. Maybe I'll get in. You remember Janie Grine? Every once in a while, for whatever reason and in whatever circumstance, you get to talk to people one-on-one. And sometimes if you're listening and not wanting to tell them everything about your life, they'll actually tell you something about what's going on in their life. And that's what's fascinating to me, is to find out what's going on in their life. So she said, "Well, what do you do, Randy?" Well, I work nights. I work nighttime at Safeway. I'm a night stalker. That's what I do. That's my living. I've been doing it for whatever 30 something years at that time when I first met her. So she said, you know, I've been reading a pretty cool book lately. This is Janie talking to me. She's just a real deal, right? Honest person, transparent. It was a book that was written in England. It was an ancient book. And it was like the revealing of certain English phrases. So she started telling me about these English phrases that she was reading that was like, I didn't know that. They had this English phrase, oh, you know, he's a dead ringer for somebody. Now, the English has twisted that somewhat, you know, what the meaning of that really is, but this book reveals what it really was because of night. I work nights. And she said, well, the English word for that was the graveyard shift. You work nights, right, Steve? Sometimes. The graveyard shift, this is what they call us. I'm tying this in. I'm not off on a rabbit trail. Just give me a second. The graveyard shift. You work the graveyard shift. I've been reading this book. And so she starts telling me about this book and then how we've twisted this. When somebody looks like somebody, oh, you're a dead ringer for so-and-so, you know. But that's not what that phrase meant. You see, the graveyard shift was those people that were posted on watch in the graveyard, according to Janie Grine. They were posted in the graveyard shift because they realized that they didn't really understand death, the finality of the human body ceasing and the spirit leaving the body. So when they dug a grave, they would put a string down into the casket and it would come up through the ground, you know, through a little tube, and they would plant a bell and tie the string to the bell. And if that person would come back to life, they would tie, you know, because the caskets that they had dug up by accident or by purpose had claw marks in it. And they thought, we can't do this. If we don't understand death, how can there be? We buried this person and they were still alive. So they saw the claw marks in the tops of the pine caskets. So they decided to change the way they bury people. So they started the graveyard shift and they had an attendant with a shovel or two. And if someone would, the bell would go off, they call it a dead ringer. And they would, right? And they would go dig the body up quick and get them out of the hole. I don't know. But yes, this does tie into my message. While they were still speaking, they came to the house and synagogue official. The daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? I'm not changing the theology here. Jesus raises the dead. I want you to know that. There was a man that was in, Lazarus was in the cave for 3 days. He was embalmed, not embalmed, but he was wrapped. When we speak about embalmed, we're talking about taking everything out through your nose. Taking everything out of the body, right? That's an embalming process. You're probably pretty dead by then. But anyway, he was wrapped in linen for 3 days, and he was dead. But there's a spiritual thought with spiritual words happening at that time. Jesus was about ready to go to the cross, and he was showing them that he was the Lord of the resurrection. And he was showing them here that he was Lord of resurrection. But had they had a heart to feel it, eyes to see it, ears to hear it, they would have known. But moving forward, you see, just before this in this lesson, he was the Lord of the sea. He was the Lord of the waves. He was the Lord of the wind. And they marveled. They were astonished that he could do these things. Marveled at him because of those things that were working in his life. So don't trouble the teacher anymore. You know what God would say? Oh, It's no trouble. Sam, it's no trouble. Bring me your problems. Bring me your concerns. Bring me your prayers. It's no trouble at all. You're not troubling God. It's not too hard for him. It's not too difficult. But Jesus overheard what was being spoken. See, that's an enemy to faith. Death in this case, the sickness leading to death was an enemy in the case of faith. In the face of faith, faith was going to overcome that. He said to the official, Jairus, do not be afraid any longer. This is go time. Jesus had his go bag with him. That woman interrupted him for just a minute. Just a minute. She was healed. He thought, oh, the power's gone. No, it was not gone. Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. This is what Brother Dale has been rocking and socking us with these emails every day. I've been loving it. Loving it. I hope you get them. I hope you continue to read them. Stirring up your faith for healing, for deliverance, for salvations. God is more than enough. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. This is what you see. This is the scenario. This is the play that's laid out before you. Jesus comes to the house. They came and they said to him, don't bother him anymore. She's dead. What they understood is death. She was dead. Watch what happens here. They came to the house of the synagogue official and he saw the commotion. Yeah, we all put up a great big fat commotion, and I'm not making light of it because they're real to us. These situations are real to us. It's a great big commotion. Where there's commotion, probably not faith there. That's not a source of faith. It's in your commotion, in the waves, in the wind blowing, in the sea, where there's commotion. You have to get a hold of yourself. You have to focus on what is real. God is real. Jesus is real. Faith is real. Doesn't matter what you're going through, if you focus on the commotion, you're going to struggle. This is for all of us. This is the way it is, right? This not just in this situation, but any situation moving forward. Someone comes to you with some bad news. So-and-so's this and so-and-so's that. Do not get drawn into the commotion of that. Ask God, what would you do, Lord? What would you have me to do? He wants to help. They came to the house of the officials, saw the commotion, the loud weeping, the wailing. He entered in. He said to them, why are you making this commotion and weeping? Why? Tell me. You know, oftentimes, we can't even answer that question. When we go through struggles and trials of our life, can we answer that question? Why? Why am I upset about this? What? This is too hard for God. The fact of the matter is, it's not. There's nothing too difficult for him. But if we keep our minds stayed on the peace of God and on the power of God and on his compassion and mercy and desire to help, this is what God wants. What's this commotion and weeping? The child is not died, but is asleep. Same thing with Jairus. I mean, same thing with Lazarus, if you remember. We didn't go far enough in this gospel to really see what happens in that scenario. But it is a good place to go if you want homework. What happened with that? The weeping, the big massive commotion that happened with Lazarus. Martha and Mary puzzled about this. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Your friend has died. He was a friend. I'm not getting off on a rabbit trail again. I'm just feeding this idea of keep your heart in faith. His heart stayed on the living God. Keep your mind stayed on that. They began laughing at him. Remember the people that came down and saw that he's clothed. He's in his right mind. And they were terrified. They were laughing at him because he said the girl is asleep. They began laughing at him, but putting them all out. There's your secret. The commotion, the ones that cause problems, the ones that cause fear and doubt and unbelief. Kick them out, because that's not going to help us. What helps us is staying close to God, staying close to the Word, staying close to faith, staying close. This is what helps us. Of course, we could all bring a bunch of stories in that, how that has happened to us in our life. So he took the child's father and mother and his own companions, Peter, James, and John, right? They entered the room where the child was. Touching the child's hand, he reached down and touched the dead child's hand. He touched the child's hand. Touch. The resurrection touch. The touch of faith. The touch of the power of God. The Zoe life of God. He touched the child. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, get up. Get up. Voice of authority. The one who has power of life and death. Get up. This is amazing. You could go on and on with this, right? I'm not uncovering every stone and rolling every log here. Get up. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. For she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. Peter, James, and John got to see it firsthand, this resurrection. Who was on the mountain with Jesus? The same three with Moses and Elijah. They got to see great and awesome and wonderful things being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Immediately they were completely astounded. He gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. Interesting thing about that. I know that could, I don't think I have all the answers to that, to be honest with you. He's already had crowds overwhelming him when he came up from the shore till they finally got to Jairus' house. Could be the simple reason. Sometimes a simple answer is the right answer. Once in a while you have this, because he's told people that were healed, don't tell anybody about this. And then there is Jake. You remember Jake? The demoniac. I just happened to name him. Remember Jake? He told him to go tell him how great mercy. Unreached areas. Jake had this opportunity to go tell how great God was and how he's shown him mercy and delivered him. And Jake's going through Decapolis preaching the word. As we continue through 6 and into 7, you'll see that he goes again to the other side and he begins to minister to those towns, because there is a greater narrative, plan, and purpose of what God's doing here. Watch. He gave strict orders to them to tell no one about this, and he said that something should be given to her to eat. Well, I'm not sure why someone would think that that's a magic formula to her healing. Maybe the girl was hungry, and they're so astonished they don't even know what to do. Please give her some food. Mama, go to the kitchen. Make her her favorite. Pour a bowl of her favorite cereal. Whatever. So that's this lesson. We'll continue on next week, God willing, with Romans, starting in Romans. We're actually going to start in Acts, and we're going to talk about Romans. So, Father, we thank you for your love, your great loving kindness, and how you showed yourself to be the master of the sea. You showed yourself to be a master of the wind. You showed yourself to be the great teacher as you talked to them, talked to us about the sower sows the word. You showed us how you're Lord over the realm of demonic, over the spiritual realm that we cannot see. You're Lord over the animals, oh Lord God. You're Lord over sick and pain and bleeding and death. You're Lord over all these things. You showed us that through these examples, Father God. So continue to stir our faith up. that no commotion would be allowed to distract us in our life. And the things that we think are important, Lord God, you clarify them. You show us how to pray by the Holy Ghost. And we thank you that there will be an outcome that you desire and not necessarily what we desire. For you have the perfect way, and we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.